Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
That was Patriots wide receiver Mac Hollins on Good Morning Football. He's on the team, and he has no new teammates as of 4:04 on trade deadline day, because the Patriots, as we like to say, stood pat and did nothing. Now, they didn't deal away Anthony Jennings, who was the latest we'd heard was on the trade block. So,
wow.
Essentially, Fitzy, I guess, Anthony Jennings is sort of your third edge player, because we were all wondering, could they add some depth on the edge behind Kalyvon Chaisson and Harold Landry? They did not. There were dreams of Breece Hall. There were dreams of wide receivers and tackles. And whatever your dream was, it went unfulfilled, because the Patriots, all they did at the trade deadline was trade away Kyle Duggar and trade away Keon White. So I know, Fitzy, you love the phrase, we all we got, we all we need, apparently.
Yeah, well, apparently they all they got, they all they need, because that's who they got. I'm sorry. I'm not going to back down from the fact that this is a disappointment. This is a borderline significant disappointment. I know they're ahead of schedule. I know they're building for a future that looks brighter and rosier and sunnier and grander by the day, by the game, by the Drake May stat of the week. But when you have a chance to seize control of the AFC without mortgaging too much of your future, like, you're as good as Buffalo. You might be better than the Chiefs. There's no team in the AFC that can lay claim to being significantly better than you that it's not worth maybe making one or two trades to go for it. Sorry.
Fitzy hates like it. How do you feel about it? 617-779-7937. Are you disappointed, Ted?
I don't know. Go for it. What kind of player are you expecting to get a Sauce Gardner back, Fitzy?
I'm not looking for Micah Parsons or Sauce Gardner.
So, I mean, if you're looking for somebody, you know, a third guy or some depth piece, is that really being aggressive and putting this team over the top if they bring in some guy at a position that you've never heard of?
Well, Ted, I think we have been banging on the drum, all of us, in lockstep since August, saying that depth is a significant concern on this team. And you don't have a lot of safety. As a matter of fact, you've dumped as many of them as you possibly could overboard for six-round picks and sending seventh-rounders back. You don't have very much in terms of edge rushers. You sent one of them out of town just because you thought he was a Belichick-faced pain in the ass. They're a little thin. It's crazy to think the Patriots actually got thinner in terms of depth now at the trading deadline. Like, maybe the Giardi report is true, and the Tennessee Titans don't want to deal with him because Amy Adams Strunk is still all up in her feels and clutching pearls over the way Vrabel behaved himself. Yeah. But like, they had pieces that they could have vultured for modest trade offerings, just some running back, edge rusher, another safety, something just in case.
There was only 17 trades made at this trade deadline. 17. Mm-hmm. There's 32 teams.
Cue the winger song.
I mean, people just think that, you know, their trades happen all the time. No, they don't. This rarely happens at this point. So I was a little bit surprised that everybody was all geeked up, because it just rarely, I mean, 12 to 15 on average trades are made at the trade deadline every year in the NFL. So it's just the chances of your team being one of the teams is the chances are very low.
Yes, Dimble.
Our guy Adam Schefter, who joins tomorrow, says third most trades made on deadline day since 1990. So even if it didn't feel like a lot, statistically speaking, it is a lot today.
It was 17, so the average is around 12 to 15. So, yeah, it's more than it usually is.
And that's just for today, right? That doesn't include the Patriots.
Yeah, that was six trades on deadline day itself.
Okay, perfect. 617-779-7937. A reminder that about 20 minutes from now, We'll talk to Brian Hoyer, former Patriots quarterback, about Drake May, the sacks, the pressures, the game, everything that went into last week, what he's facing against Mayfield this week. Let's go to the phone lines here. Let's go to Ted's guy, Paulie in Dedham. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, what's going on, guys? You know, it looks to me as if, you know, the New England Patriots are now like the Seattle Seahawks of the AFC. And nobody's going to be in a hurry to help them. You know, we got a couple of guys with teams that are really on the move. People are going to want to come here anyway next year. You're going to see a lot in the free agent market, I'll tell you that, next year. But right now, they want to make us pay an arm and a leg. They want to try to cut us off the knees by taking as many draft picks as we can. If they can, if we let him, Jim Brable just hold it. He's standing fat because of that. And the report earlier in the day was that the prices are high throughout the league, but especially for teams like the Pats that are on the way up.
Thanks for the call, Paulie. Do we think that's it? That nobody wants to give the Patriots quote unquote a deal.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Because why? Because they're the Patriots?
I guess that was Paulie's theory.
An ascending power, like, oh no, I don't want to help the Patriots get good, if not better, again. Okay.
Maybe I mean, don't cut off your nose to spite your face. You're a bad general manager. If you could have helped your team, improve your team, then you're a dumbass for not trading with the Patriots. But, I will say this, there's the best point Paulie made right there was basically, this is going to be an attractive place to come to.
Yep.
This used to be the Patriots for the last 5 years, at least until, 2020 on. Have been what the Buffalo Bills used to be back in the day when they would, you know, do you remember one off season they had Mario Williams, the pass rusher from the Texans,
yep,
go up there and visit, and the word was they wouldn't let him go. Like they kept him over a day over in Buffalo. Well, they gave him like $100 million. It's something absurd. He's basically forced to sign it because he's like, no one team's ever going to give me this much money. That was where the Patriots were. They were going to have to blow teams. They're going to have to blow, spend a ton of money to get any free agents to come here because nobody was going to want to come here. But that's not the case anymore. You have a quarterback. You have a coach. Now this is going to be an attractive place. You don't have to overpay like the Buffalo Bills did with Mario Williams. I like that point that Paulie was making. So, would you rather be – what are the Colts fans? Are they happy that they went all in on Sauce Gardner? Are they sitting there going, dude, you just gave up two first-rounders?
Oh, no, right now I think you're on that high. You got to be on that initial high. Later, they might be more the fall, the after
when
the high.
Yeah, when the next year's draft, when they go to it and they go, oh, we don't pick until 65? Okay, we don't get a first-rounder?
But they're going – good for them. They're going for it. Yeah, they might miss out on some stuff. You got to make it count, of course, and maybe Sauce Gardner returns to form because he leaves the toxic minefield of North Jersey for the dairy-laden winning of the Lucas Oil Field. And, Ted, I just want to make a point about the Buffalo Bills, if I may, sir. It's funny you mentioned the Buffalo Bills and the suck tax they had to pay regarding players like Mario Williams, because to me, right now, with what the Patriots did in their inactivity at the trade deadline, that sets them up potentially right now to be the Buffalo Bills. That's right. They can be a team that constantly goes to the divisional round or maybe to the AFC championship, but just doesn't have enough to clear that hurdle, get over the top, and get back to the championship game. So if you want to, be perennial contenders, that's great. But like in a year like this where it's wide open for anywhere between 8 and 12 teams, I'd spend a little equity and borrow a little bit from tomorrow to get after today.
They're going to get free agents. They're going to have more free agents that are going to want to come here now that Drake May is cooking and Mike is here. I don't agree with that. I don't. And I'll say it'll be interesting to see how the Colts have a first-year head coach in Shane Steichen.
Third.
No.
Third year. He's not a first year.
Why am
I thinking? But still, it's a kind of an interesting case study. And okay, they're going all in at their same record the Patriots have. The Patriots decided not to be as aggressive. Who ends up, making the right decision at the end of the
day?
First-year owner.
Yeah, that I think is a wild card, Fitzy. I don't know what role that played, but the Ursay's daughter, who's been very active, front-facing, sideline, that had to play a role, right, Fitzy?
Oh, yeah. No, Andy, have you seen the new meme? It's the photo of her, and it says blank them pics with her headphones on the side. Good.
So I gotta
good for
think,
them. They made a choice. I don't necessarily support it, but good for them. They made a choice.
Ted, I agree with you that this is going to be a destination. We've talked about that even going back to last year, starting that process with Drake May, the highlight throws, the plays. Oh, they got one of them quarterbacks up in New England kind of thing.
You said that last year and after the Titans game, Andy. Yep. You said he just made the play that's going to make this a destination eventually.
I called them recruitment videos back at the time. They were just highlights that you might show opposing players, like, this guy can be your quarterback, and you have that no matter what, right? I mean, we don't. There's no way this season peters out to the point where you end up with a losing record. You're going to win a few more games. You're going to end up with, at worst case scenario, let's say 11 wins, right? So you're going to be an 11-6 team. That's on the upswing. You have that no matter what. The thing I would say, and I've said this all along, I think the Washington Commanders this year are the cautionary tale for the Patriots. Don't assume you're going to be good next year. Don't assume Drake May is going to have a great year next year. Like, I think the Commanders were really happy to go to the NFC title game, and then they were like, well, we're going to add to this. We're going to bring in Debo and Laremy Tunsil and, you know, Dietrich Wise, John, like, and that'll put us over the top. And then you were a little snake bitten, right? He's gotten hurt. He's missed time.
They brought in a lot of
games.
Old veterans. You know.
Right, but they did so assuming they were going to be in the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, because they got aging veterans that they brought in last year that were good last year, but they aged out. I mean,
so you think the Patriots are in the playoffs no matter what next year?
I do.
Yeah, see, I don't. I think there's a chance they have a regression. I think
why?
We've seen, because I think it's very common with these young quarterback rebuilds.
Okay.
I think Houston had a regression. Now, they made the playoffs the second year, but they weren't as good. It got the offensive coordinator fired. The Commanders are probably going to miss the playoffs. They've had to play Mariota a couple times.
Not probably.
I don't think so. The Jets are going to suck next year. Miami's going to suck next year. I think there's no reason to think the free agents they brought in are young. You know, they're not old guys at the end of their careers. Like the Washington Commanders brought in?
Well, they have some. I mean, Moses could get old. Diggs could get old. Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper could get old.
Yeah.
Even Carlton Davis could probably get old. So there's guys on this roster that next year could take a negative step. But it almost isn't.
The Commanders are one of the oldest rosters in the NFL right now. The Patriots are the fourth youngest.
Mm-hmm. So you think that guarantees evolution progression?
I think that's a big for them repeating, yeah.
Vrabel must agree, because he's treating this like a multi-step, step-by-step, up the ladder.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Before we get to the top of the mountain, we're not going to rush it. Whereas the Colts clearly said, we don't know if Daniel Jones will be good next year. We better strike while the iron's hot down here. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Justin in D.C. What's up, Justin?
Yeah, Commanders are going to miss the playoffs. I just sold off all my season tickets after that Jaden Daniels injury and bought some Ravens pass tickets.
There you go.
I can't wait to go see the team that I actually like. But, Teddy, a couple things you said. So, first off, with the free agency, this isn't free agency of 5 years ago or when you were playing, because premier players at premier positions just don't get to free agency. So the Patriots may be a destination for Stephon Diggs type who are coming off of injuries, or Calvin Ridley and Hopkins who are washed. But those are the type of receivers that you're going to be looking at in free agency, for example. The other thing you said that really stuck with me and struck me with a bunch of fear, Teddy, is you said Mike Vrabel's making a decision at this deadline out of defense, out of job preservation, job security. Quite frankly, there's a saying, half measures availed us nothing. But furthermore, that is weak, pathetic, loser behavior, because that means he's beholden to groupthink, And I think it marries up with what Fitzy just said. If you're not a winner, if you're not a killer, if you're not willing to be a leader and buck the trend, then sure, you may continue to make the playoffs, but you're never going to win a Super Bowl here in New England or anywhere else. So I think the lack of moves here, yes, the Patriots are 100% going to miss the playoffs as the schedule gets harder next year. But the most concerning thing is Mike Vrabel's lack of killer instinct.
Thanks for the call, Justin.
Losers.
I you know what?
Wow.
I'm not sure Mike is the one that decides that stuff. You know, I don't think Mike.
The trade deadline?
Yeah, I don't know if he says, you know, yeah, I want to make a trade for this guy and I want to give up future draft picks. You don't think that goes to the Kraft? You don't think Elliot Wolf is involved in that? You think that's all Mike?
I think it's mostly
Mike. I thought
Wolf
didn't have any power.
Yeah, I think it's mostly Mike. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can put that on Wolf. Now, first round picks, I don't know where that line is. I'm sure Robert gets involved.
Oh, I think Jonathan's very involved.
So, like, if they wanted to trade a fourth round pick for Jacoby Myers, you think they have to run that by ownership, for example?
I would hope maybe not that one.
Okay. So, I think probably day one, maybe early day two picks. Are you guys sign off on this kind of thing? But a lot of these moves, both wide receivers, Fitzy, we talked about it, basically went for fourth and sixth round picks, something like that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we weren't necessarily saying A.J. Brown for a first-round pick or, you know, Hendrickson didn't end up getting moved. He was supposedly they were asking for a first-round pick in Cincinnati and didn't end up getting moved. I think a lot of people had lowered their expectations to, you know, a fourth-round pick for something, a hooker or whatever, the safety, not a person. Yes, Fitzy. So, like,
Minka Fitzpatrick, that was one we were talking about.
Minka Fitzpatrick, perfect.
Would have been a perfect Patriot. Somebody who's got veteran experience, can play a little corner and safety as well. Good tackler. Obviously, Miami knows, like, well, what the hell do I want to, why would I want to try to make them better? And I'm trading him in the division, so I'm going to raise the price tag. But even teams like Cincinnati or Tennessee that are just in dire straits right now, if they're holding out for really, really exorbitant price tags, they're the fools as much as maybe the Patriots may regret not making moves at the deadline because, okay, great, you get Trey Hendrickson for a season, you can finish 6-11 at best, then he's going to walk, and you might get a compensatory pick, but you could have easily gotten a high third or a low second from a team desperate for pass rush help.
And as Paulie alluded to, Tom Curran did say on Jones and Keefe that he was told that the prices are very high at this trade deadline, or were very high heading into this trade deadline. So that may be true. We did see first-round picks get thrown about a little bit, and those are indeed high prices, and so the Patriots didn't end up doing anything. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Mason in Newport. What's up, Mason?
Hey, guys. Just want to say I know the Patriots didn't make any moves at the deadline, but do you think if they are an early exit in the playoffs, do you think that they might try to get a guy like Myles Garrett? They might have used the draft capital to do something rather than just try to see what happens for the rest of the year?
Thanks for the call, Mason. If they are an early exit from the playoff, is that the question? Yeah, I mean, that might be motivation. We'll see how it goes. But no, I think Vrabel, you talk about consistent messaging, Ted. He's been very consistent on this topic. We'll look at every player at every position, and you know, if he can make the team better. He went on the whole discussion yesterday. Practice squad, we look at those guys. If they're in the league, we consider the trades. If they're out of the league, are they better than what we have? Like,
I think regardless of what happens, there's going to be a feeling this offseason that there's going to be pressure to spend and to get guys. And so I just feel like there's a little bit of hesitancy to make a big deal in the middle of the season, bringing a new guy in that you haven't really been around, that you haven't been able to do a physical with, that you know that you don't know what kind of shape they're in, to bring them in and to give up draft equity for an unknown commodity. I think it's just riskier for a team that has young coaches on it for the first year as opposed to doing it in the offseason after you've already had a successful season. I just think it's just the mindset of it is just that's where they're at. They're not going to make a big deal right now.
And I think something that'll fuel that, Fitzy, is the thing we always hear. The best deal in all of sports is a quarterback on his rookie contract. And heading into his third season, with your cap space, people will be like, okay, load up now before you have to give him 60, 70 million a year. Because that's on the horizon, right? Like, that'll be the talk at some point with him. So,
is it that third round pick? You know, is it the Laden Robinson? Is it Kyle Williams that you couldn't have lived without, maybe to try to get after it this year and hold, maybe even still hold on to that player going forward? Ted, if you'd have traded a third round pick for Breece Hall, guess who has first crack at trying to sign Breece Hall, especially if he likes it around here and learns to love Drake May? Just saying.
Yeah, and but the one thing is, and Ted, you kind of touched on this earlier.
I'd have been okay with it, guys. I'm not saying I wasn't. I'm against it.
Oh, you loved the idea of a running back or Breece Hall, whatever.
Yeah,
but we'll never. You can't be proven wrong in a weird way. Like, you can't prove if they lose in the first round, you can't prove that whatever was on the table today for a trade would have made you win that game. You know what I mean? We don't have that information at our disposal when we're criticizing them the Monday after that loss.
We don't know, right? We don't know how many offers they made and people rejected it. Like,
right.
We just you're right. So we're mad at them. They didn't do anything, but I wouldn't want them to do anything at all costs.
Right. And there's also the possibility, Fitzy, there's no saying they can't go on a run. I was talking about before today's lack of activity at the trade deadline, could they beat almost anybody in the AFC? And the answer is yes. So what if they go on a Super Bowl run? Are we going to say, whoo, good thing they didn't make a trade because they could have screwed that up. They could have upset the apple cart. They could have ruined the vibes, Fitzy, right?
Or what if they go on an AFC championship run and they're just one extra edge rusher, depth corner, or offensive spark plug away from clearing that hurdle and making way to Santa Clara, seeing
Killers? We'll hammer them then, just like we did the Red Sox when they got bounced after the first round.
Then it'll be called content, and it's good for us either way, because that will be content for WEEI Afternoons. Up next, you're going to hear Dan Ball with a interesting trending note on Trevor Story. Ted Johnson predicted it. He was right. We are also going to be talking to our guy Brian Hoyer. He'll give his latest update on just how great or not great Drake May is. Do those issues from Sunday worry Brian Hoyer? We'll find out next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.